And now, the preaching of the gospel with James Watkins.
For the next few moments, let's notice the most important, greatest question ever asked by frail, sinful humanity. When we can read that question verbatim in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, at verse 30. Now, the background here is familiar to most of us, I'm quite sure. This is in Philippi, a Roman colony, on the continent of Europe, I might add. And the man asking the question is a jailer. Paul and Silas had been beaten with the Roman rod as a result of Paul's casting the spirit of divination out of the little maiden that followed them after some time. He didn't do it immediately, but tiring of that, she followed them saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim unto you the way of salvation," all of which was true. But it is not the position or responsibility of those demon-possessed to declare the truth. And so this was a distraction, and Paul cast the spirit of divination out of that little maiden. In consequence, those who had been using her, men of no principle at all, who simply used her affliction to make money, had Paul and Silas arrested. They were beaten and cast into the prison, delivered to the jailer, who put them in the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And, of course, as you know, about midnight, an earthquake occurred and loosed the bonds of the prisoners, opened the doors of the prison house, and the jailer, being roused out of sleep, seeing the condition, knowing that in Roman law, when you allow a prisoner to escape, you take his place. He drew his sword, was about to kill himself. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And so he came in, fell down before them. He called for a light. He brought them out. He said, verse 30, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" A wonderful, important question, having eternal consequences. And this man, however, being a heathen, has no background in the religion of Christ. He knows nothing about the death of Jesus Christ, yet he understands that the occurrence here at the prison was most unusual. It had to be in consequence of a divine power. And so he asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what something is to be done? He is in a lost estate. He knows a change needs to be made. What must," and that's an imperative, "I," the personal pronoun, and that is very, very important in the context of this question. Frequently I'll have letters addressed to me telling me of the condition of the world and certain leaders, even in our nation, who belong to this or that, who have certain goals that we do not fully appreciate, maybe do not fully comprehend. And it would appear that the end result would be disastrous, not a good move. Say, "Hey, evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 13. So this old world is not going to endure. It will not last. Friends, this pronoun "I" is vitally significant. What is my relationship to God? Oh, if it's what it should be, then I don't have to worry about external, physical, material circumstances. Oh, sure, they'll get worse, and there's changes that are made, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Ultimately, all of this is going to be destroyed. Oh, but the Almighty said to those who walk with His Son, "I'll never forsake thee, neither will I in any wise leave thee." Friends, I trust in the Lord. So it is a personal question. What must I do? And then, of course, that clause, "to be saved," indicates that this man recognizes that the power is not within himself. There is an external power that provides for human redemption. Now, he doesn't understand about redemption. He doesn't know about all of this. But what is the answer that Paul and Silas give to this man? Oh, verse 31. They said, "Believe on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house." Isn't that wonderful? Salvation by faith is the cardinal teaching of the New Testament. Oh, there's no question about that, as stated numerous times in the Scripture. Salvation is by faith. That's the basic, fundamental teaching of the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Interesting, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That is wonderful news. Notice, however, with me, in Romans chapter 10, let's begin at verse 12. Now, keep in mind that the sum of God's Word is truth. Psalms 119, verse 160. Yeah, that's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, give diligence or study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, or the American Standard says, handling aright the Word of God. So it is important that we rightly divide the Word of God. Our Lord taught us that in His personal ministry, did He not? You remember His temptation recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4? Oh, sure, you're familiar with that. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He afterward hungered. Satan came to Him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Needed bread above every other material need. What did He say? It is written. No man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Well, then Satan took Him to the city, placed Him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee. On their hands they shall bear thee up, lest after thou shouldst dash thy foot against a stone. He quoted Psalms 91, verse 11, accurately. That is exactly what it says. But what was the Lord's reply to him? Oh, he said, it is written again. What are you telling me, Lord? Friends, one scripture modifies another. As we've said, this is a unit. Oh, and everything in this book is in harmony with every other thing. Each teaching is in harmony with the rest of the book. So until you have all that God has said on any one subject, you do not have the truth on that theme. And there are no contradictions in God's Word. So we need to go where some things are mentioned. If our subject is faith, we need to go where faith is mentioned, where we learn more about what is involved in saving faith. Now, what was it Paul and Silas said to this jailer who asked the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Oh, and then to Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 12, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. No. They're all the same before God. God is rich toward all who call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's interesting, isn't it? Just a minute. There's no distinction between Jew and Gentile? Right. In the New Testament, all are on an equal footing. There is no special favor given to the descendants of Abraham because Christ came to provide salvation for all humanity. That's what the Old Testament is teaching. That's what it leads up to, that redemption, salvation, is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. No. They're all the same before the Lord. And God is rich toward all who call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's interesting. But now, just a moment. Continuing. How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, even as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our message? To whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy? Right. So then belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, no question about that. So faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 at verse 17. But notice the order of this. No distinction between Jew and Greek. God is rich toward all who call upon Him, whether it's a Jew or a Greek, it doesn't matter. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that can't be done without faith. You see, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, just a moment. Are you saying here, Paul, that one must believe before he can call upon the Lord? That's exactly what he's saying, yes. Yes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you can't call on someone in whom you do not believe, someone you don't even know exists. You can't, no. And how shall they believe without hearing? In other words, someone has to tell them, someone must inform them, something must be said. How shall they believe without hearing? It can't be done. Oh, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Christ, of course, chose his apostles. He commissioned them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 at verse 15. And now someone may say, well, these fellows have no formal education. They do not, among the entirety of them, hold a single degree. Who's going to listen to the... He gave them the credentials of an apostle also. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord Jesus, when he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. So the Lord chose his apostles. He commissioned them to preach the gospel to every creature, and he gave them the credentials of an apostle. You say, well, they don't have a degree, yeah, but when you raise a dead man, people are going to pay attention to what you say. I mean, this has to be a power from the Almighty. And so he sent them forth to preach, and they went forth and preached. People believed and called upon the Lord. That's the way that thing works. You remember in Acts chapter 2, for the first time in the history of the world, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and the gospel was preached. Peter's sermon is recorded. Death, burial, resurrection, the ascension, coronation of Jesus Christ at God's right hand. Oh, indeed. He is on David's throne reigning over spiritual Israel. He affirmed all of that in Acts chapter 2. And his Jewish auditors were cut to the heart. They believed his message. They said, brethren, what shall we do? That's an interesting question. The same question in a different form that we are discussing at the moment. What must I do to be saved? That's an interesting thought. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you can't call on someone in whom you don't believe. And you can't believe in someone of whom you've never heard. That's out of the question. Oh, and the only way you can hear it is through the inspired word. In that day, the word was in the inspired man, is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Well, today, by inspiration, they recorded the sum total of God's divine will, so the message is in the inspired book. So then, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's correct. So when one believes, he is in position to call upon the name of the Lord. That's true. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. Oh, but let's go back to our text. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. That heathen jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Does it stop there? Friend, if it did, this would be impossible. You see, the jailer cannot believe on Jesus Christ. Well, someone says, why not? Never heard of him. How shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? You know what Paul said? Romans chapter 10? Why, certainly. Out of the question. You can't call on someone in whom you do not believe. And you cannot believe in someone of whom you've never heard. Now understand, this is the first time an apostle has set foot on the continent of Europe. The jailer is a heathen. He knows nothing about the salvation made available through the death, burial, and subsequent resurrection of God's Son. He knows nothing of that at all. So then, when he asked that question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They told him. They told, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. And they preached unto him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Brought them up into his house, set food before them, rejoicing with all his house, having believed in God. Through verse 34. Let's analyze that again. The question, what must I do to be saved? Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved in thy house. But then faith is a living thing. That's correct. It is made manifest by the person possessing it. That's it. Exactly. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, and you do remember Romans 1 verse 16. Where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To whom? Oh, to everyone that believeth. Oh, so then Paul and Silas said to this jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, to enable him to do this, they preached unto him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. That is, they expounded unto him the salvation made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, indicating his penitence. His people, his government put those stripes on their backs. And he is now washing them, providing for their comfort, repentance. Oh, and he was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Why was he baptized? Faith. Right? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. When does it say they believed on the Lord? Oh, verse 34, that's the statement. When they did what the Lord said. You see, when you say, I believe Christ to be the Son of God, but he didn't know what he was talking about. Or, what he says is irrelevant, non-essential, unnecessary. Or, I believe in Christ as the Son of God, but I don't see any sense in that. You know, it's interesting, but that is exactly why the Lord clothed the plan of salvation in such terminology. That's why he makes such requirements of men in obedience to the truth. You see, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, that familiar passage? Oh, the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What? The word of the cross is foolishness to whom? Those who perish. Why will they perish? They pay no attention to the Lord's teaching. They are unbelievers. Oh, somebody says, well, I believe in Christ. I believe, but no. No, no. Faith, of course, must be made manifest in our activities. Oh, but faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then how do I make my faith manifest? Just do what the Lord said. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about 7 days. Verse 30, Hebrews 11. Well, who ever heard of taking a fortified, armed city by marching and blowing and shouting? Nobody, as far as I know. I never heard of it until I read Joshua chapter 6. And I'm sure Joshua had never heard of it until the angel told him what to do. What did Joshua do? He did what he said. He ordered his men according to the instruction of the angel, and did exactly what the angel said. How did the walls of Jericho fall down? By faith. By faith. How was the jailer and his household saved? By faith. That's the cardinal teaching of the New Testament. Salvation is by faith. Oh, now if you're going to come up with the idea of salvation by faith only, that's nowhere suggested. In fact, the opposite is taught in the Scripture. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. James chapter 2 at verse 24. Faith, yes. Why would a person be buried in the water and raised again? Because the Lord said so. Being buried with him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with him through faith in the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians 2:12. Why would you be baptized? Why would you be buried in the water? Faith. Being buried with him by baptism into death. That's by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, In other words, when I do this, that's total submission to the Lord, right? Because you can't put it on paper, reach a logical conclusion, having figured it out. It doesn't work that way. No, sir. No, sir. People say, oh, well, you know that's of no value. The very idea of what would being dipped in the water have to do with the remission of sins? Nothing, as far as I know. Any more than looking at a piece of brass would cure snake bite. It would have worked every time. Numbers 21, at verse 9. Sure, works every time. As far as I know, there's no physical connection between the penitent believer being dipped in the water and the remission of sins. No, salvation is by faith. That's the teaching of this book. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does the Lord say? Well, you remember when he commissioned those apostles? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15, we noted that a while ago. Or did you notice the next statement, the result of that? The consequences of their proclamation of the gospel? Oh, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Well, how is that faith made manifest? Just doing what the Lord said. Well, somebody says, why should I do that? Faith. There's no other reason. No. It's not a material, physical thing at all. It's a matter of faith. They preached unto him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. He brought them up into his house, set food before them, rejoicing with all his house, having believed in God. Friend, until you do what God has said, don't call yourself a believer. You are a rank infidel and of the worst stripe. Claim to be religious, claim to believe in Christ, call him a liar. You don't believe what he said? You pay no attention to his instruction? Well, you're not a believer at all. No, sir. You need to rethink the issue of faith. There's no question about that. I remember Paul said, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. You remember that, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. No question about it. Well, somebody says, there it is. All one need do to have peace with God is just believe. Where'd you read that? Well, you just quoted it, preacher, Romans 5, verse 1. No. I quoted Romans 5, verse 1. Listen to it. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. When did Paul have peace with God? When his faith justified him. That's what he said. You remember on the road to Damascus? A bright light shone round about him. Fell to the ground. Heard a voice saying, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? The voice said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou hast persecuted. Saul saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. That's what he said. 1 Corinthians 15, at verse 8. Last of all, to a child untimely born, he appeared unto me also. Well, then, to see is to believe. There's no question about that. Well, Paul, you have peace with God. No, he didn't have peace with God. When he got up, he was blind. Had to be led by the hand of those that were with him into the street called Straight, where for 3 days and nights he can neither eat nor drink. He is a miserable wretch. He is remembering the way he persecuted the people of God. But Ananias, the disciple, was sent to him. Ananias laid his hands on him, and the scales, as it were, fell from his eyes. He restored his sight. And you remember what he said to him? Paul, seeing the Lord, was a believer. For 3 days and nights, it's obvious that he is in a penitent state of mind. He can neither eat nor drink. When Ananias came, he was praying. What did Ananias tell him? Why tarriest thou, brother Saul? He's a fellow Jew. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why be baptized? To wash away your sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can't be saved if your sins are removed. How do you remove your sins? Where do you use water? In the Christian dispensation. Oh, you're baptized in the element of water. Acts chapter 8, you remember? Verse 36 makes that very clear. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Oh, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, isn't it? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's verse 5 of John chapter 3. We understand that. The Holy Spirit instructs man through faith and turning from the practice of sin to be buried with his Lord in baptism. Why do that? For the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. To wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. to put you into Christ, where salvation is located. 2 Timothy 2:10, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. No question about it. It is a matter of faith. The reason we do it is because God said to. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They preached unto him the word, and he obeyed it, being baptized by faith into Christ.